Welcome everybody. I wonder if you could just stand up and greet the people around you. Go and find somebody that you've not talked to or you don't know. If you're a visitor, that's going to be easy for you because you don't know anybody. So just welcome people around you. Stand up. Wander around. Say hello. So, wherever you're from, whoever you are, whatever your background is, you're very welcome. If you are visiting us and you don't know the way that we do things here at Penrith, just relax, okay? We're very laid back, or I am anyway. Out in the hall, through that door, you can see that there's a gazebo and there are all sorts of toys and books and things, so that if at any point you need to get up, as Kathy's doing, and wander around, and just feel free to do that. Is that a deal? Is that okay? Is anybody out there? Yeah, okay. So, just at any point, if you just want to wander through there, then please do feel free to do that. I don't know where you were in the 1960s. They say that if you can remember the 1960s, you weren't there or something, is there? To start with this morning, here is a blast from the past, as they say. This is a song from the 1960s. Have a go. Which is a good introduction to our first couple of songs today, where we say thank you very much. That song by The Scaffold that we started with, thank you very much. Could see some of you singing along. I wonder if you could rewrite the words. So it was, thank you very much for doing the dishes. What other, thank you very much for
being my friend.
Yeah. Okay. Rather than you shouting them out now, what I'll do is I'll start the prayer off, and then there will either be an awkward silence, or you can shout out your thank you very muches. Is that okay? Okay. But you're going to have to shout, because I'm a bit hard of hearing, and, you know. Not that God's hard of hearing. He would hear you if you whispered, but I wouldn't. And I'd like to join in with your prayer. So, we're away. Let's pray together. Father God, we have so much to give you thanks for. And this morning we come together to say thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for this congregation, for your people in this place. Thank you very much for your creation, for the sunshine and, yes, even for the rain. Thank you very much for families.
So many visitors with us today.
Thank you.
The examples are clean.
Thank you.
Friends and family.
Thank you. Thank you for friends and family. Thank you for our health.
Being by our side in the good and the bad.
Yes, Lord, thank you for your faithfulness to us.
Jesus.
That's always the answer. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you.
Giving us an example of how to live in the power of Jesus.
Yes, thank you. Thank you that you've shown us the way. Yes, I enjoy my food. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you that your love endures forever.
For the love that endures forever. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for children, for new life. Lord, thank you, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for so many things. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Thank you for the way in which you bless us with one blessing after another. Thank you very much. Thank you most of all that it's your grace, by your grace, that we've received these things. We've not earned them. We don't deserve any one of those blessings. And yet you're a God who gives and gives and gives freely. Thank you. Thank you that you look at your children here today with love in your heart. And thank you that you so loved the world, you so loved us, you so loved me that you were willing to send your son Jesus to be our Saviour. Wonderful love. Thank you. And thank you that he was willing to go all the way to the cross. That he gave up all that he had at the Father's side to be born here in our creation. But thank you that the cross wasn't the end of the story. That his death was not the end. That he rose again victorious, beating all the powers of sin and death itself. Thank you. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for new hope. Thank you for eternal life. And thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, your Spirit with us in this place this morning. Pour out your Holy Spirit, your Spirit of love and peace and joy into our hearts, we pray. Thank you. Thank you, Father God, for all your many gifts to us now, we pray, through Jesus' name. Amen. Last week there was a new film at the cinema. I've not been to see it because, well, frankly, the reviews haven't been very good, but maybe I'll wait till it comes out on DVD or something. It's called Christopher Robin. Has anybody seen it? Oh, yeah. Is it worth going? Yes, okay. I'll ignore the reviews and go and see Christopher Robin. The story is about, imagine that Christopher Robin grows up. Well, he did. And he's got a kind of a boring, tedious job and kind of middle-age crisis. And it's at that point that people think that he's forgotten all about his childhood toys. And they come back to, bug him, look after him, care for him, encourage him. So, do you like the Hundred Acre Wood? Do you like Winnie the Pooh? Yes. And the great thing about the stories about Winnie the Pooh are the different characters. And each of the characters has a different personality. They're all different. A bit like us in the congregation today. We're all very different. So, I have got, on a very rare outing today, my executive briefcase. It's seen better days, so I'm kind of rationing the number of times that it comes out at the moment. But are you ready to see what's in the executive briefcase this morning? You're going to see it anyway. Now, if I had some AA batteries, it could waggle its ears and its tail, but never mind. I probably took the batteries out for a reason. this is Eeyore. Okay. And Eeyore's personality is that Eeyore is gloomy. He's glum. He's sad. He goes to his gloomy place. And maybe you can think of people that you know who are Eeyores. Maybe, whisper it gently, you're a bit of an Eeyore yourself. Eeyores, Rabbit comes up to Eeyore and Rabbit says, "Good morning, Eeyore." And Eeyore says, "What's good about it?" That's Eeyore. And I've certainly known Eeyores in my time. When we lived in Sheffield, I used to go to the paper shop, and my aim in life while I was living in Sheffield was to make the woman behind the counter laugh. I did not succeed. Two occasions. First occasion, I went into the post office, into the shop, and I said to her, "What a beautiful morning it is, isn't it? A wonderful morning." And she says, "It's going to rain by lunchtime." True. And then I went in and I said to her, "That's a beautiful hairdo that you've got. Oh, have you just had your hair done? Have you been to the hairdressers?" She says, "Yeah, it cost me a pretty packet, I can tell you." I was trying to compliment you. So, Eeyores, does somebody want to look after Eeyore for me for a moment? Anybody? Otherwise, I'll just put him on the step here. You're going to look after Eeyore. Okay.
David has a Winnie the Pooh tie on.
A Winnie the Pooh tie on? He's on the door. And it's under a jump. Oh, he's going to pull his... Oh, there you go. You can turn around and have a look. There you go. Yeah, poof. God's speaking to us, obviously, yeah. Piglet. Now, Piglet is very nervous, very shy, very timid creature, always thinking that, well, the world is a big, scary place, isn't it? It's a big, scary place. And there might be heffalumps around the next corner. You never know. So it's always good to have a friend to hold your hand. It's always good to have somebody. Now, there are piglets, aren't there? Bless. There are piglets who kind of are very timid, shy creatures, yeah, and need people to hold their hand and so on. Are you going to look after Piglet for me? Yeah, come on. There you go. Pooh Bear. And again, I think the batteries have disappeared out of this one because he used to sing. If you pressed his paw, but he's not going to do that anymore. So there you go. And there is Pooh. I kind of identify with Pooh. Do you identify with Pooh? Pooh kind of is kind of like my shape. So there you go. Pooh is very lovable and very cuddleable. And he is a bear of very little brain. Yeah. So there's Pooh. Are you going to look after Pooh? Yeah, come on then. Okay. Pass Pooh along the line there. There's obviously other characters in the 100-acre wood that I've not mentioned. There's Owl. Again, I take after Owl, I think. Owl likes to think that he's very intelligent, but he isn't really. He likes to show off his intelligence and his understanding and all the things that he knows and impress people with everything that he knows, but he doesn't really know anything at all. So that's Owl. There's Kanga and Roo. Kanga is the kind of mother figure and so on. And you go all the way down to Alexander Beetle and so on. So they're all... I've missed one out, haven't I? Tigger. And Tigger, the wonderful thing about Tiggers is I'm the only one. Now, isn't that true? That we are all the only one. I'm the only one of me. I'm not sure the world could cope with two, really. But I'm the only one. And so are you. You're the only one of you. And here's his tails made out of springs. Is that right? And he just bounces. He's got energy. He bounces and he runs everywhere and he bounces and he's just tiring to be with. And there's poor Eeyore down by the river having a drink and he gets bounced on. And Tiggers have that way, don't they, sometimes of just bouncing on you. Have we got Tiggers in the congregation this morning? You're probably not going to own up to it. But they just... The thing about Tiggers is, you know, they're great, life and soul of the party. But to somebody like a piglet, oh, they're a bit scary, aren't they? And for Tiggers, Tiggers can't understand why everybody else isn't bouncing up and down as well. Come on, everybody up. And you're thinking, no, just please. Does anybody want to look after Tigger for me? You have to... Oh, are you a Tigger?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to read you a Bible story, just a few verses from Mark's Gospel. You might want to get your Bible out. It's from Mark chapter 10. Just as I'm reading these verses, I've sort of said, you know, what character are you in the Hundred Acre Wood? I wonder if you're a Tigger or a Pooh or a Piglet or an Owl or whatever. As you read this story, or as you hear it being read, I want you to focus on the man that comes up to Jesus. And I want you to ask the question, now what personality, what character, is this an owl, or a piglet, or a poo, or a Eeyore, or a Tigger? What kind of a character is this man? It's from Mark chapter 10, and I'm going to begin at verse 17. It's on page 1014, if you want to follow it in the Bible. The rich young man. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Now, it so happens that I know a song. Maybe you don't know it. So maybe Carolyn and the group are going to teach it to us or introduce it to us. Do you have those times when you're reading your Bible and you think, I know this bit. I must have read this story lots of times. It's actually not just in Mark's Gospel, which is where we read it. It's in the other Gospels as well. Well, it's in Luke and Matthew as well. So if you're reading through your Gospels, you're going to get it three times, you know. So you think, I've read this story. I know this story. I know what it's about. And I was reading through it in Mark a couple of weeks ago. And there was just one phrase that kind of just jumped out at boom. I thought, where'd that come from? Somebody's been playing with my Bible, you know? It wasn't there last time I read it. Somebody must have put that bit in. Where does that come from? And it just hit me. And it's the verse in verse 21 where Jesus said, where it says, Jesus looked at the man and loved him. And loved him. And it made me think about this man and who he was and where he'd come from and what it was about this man that Jesus loved in particular. And as I thought about it and thought, what was it about this man that Jesus loved? I thought to myself, well, come on. Jesus loves all the little children. Jesus loves everybody. Jesus loved the scribes and the Pharisees. Could say strong things about them at times, but he still loved them, didn't he? Yeah. Loved Pilate. Loved the Roman soldiers. Loved Judas. Loved them all. Loves me. Loves you. Loves everybody. So, of course, Jesus loved this rich young man that comes to him. Of course. But that didn't satisfy me in a way, because the Bible doesn't say about each person that Jesus meets, and Jesus loved them. It doesn't say that. Are you still with me? Yeah, I know he did. But for some reason, Mark has chosen to point out that Jesus loved this man. Why? What was it about this man that Jesus loved? Remember, I began by asking you to think about what kind of a person this was. If he was a character in the Hundred Acre Wood, this rich young man, what of those characters, is he a Pooh or an Eeyore or a Piglet or a Tigger? Which do you think?
Owl.
He was wise. He was wise in coming to Jesus. Okay. I've got him down as a Tigger. Yeah? I've got him down as a Tigger because Jesus is leaving town. He's on the run. The man, what does he do? Kind of saunters up to him and taps him on the shoulder. No. What does he do? Kind of, kind of laid back, kind of just chilled out. I'm a bit nervous about doing this, so, you know. I mean, the woman with the hemorrhage and the issue of blood, you know, then yes, you know, timid. Should I do this? Piglet. But this guy, hey, Jesus, comes round. Does he stand in front of him? Falls to his knees. Good teacher. Can you got the impression? He's just over the top. He's just larger than life. He's just so big. He's got so much enthusiasm, so much zeal, so much energy. You can almost hear Jesus say, can we turn the volume down a little bit here? Good teacher, you know, why are you caught? Can we just tone it down a little bit here? That's just a bit too much. Okay. So what is it that Jesus loves? Number one, maybe it's his enthusiasm. Maybe it's his zeal. Maybe it's his passion. Maybe it's his get up and go. Do you feel sometimes that your get up and go is gone? Got up and gone? Yeah. I, you know, sometimes I feel like that. I feel kind of, oh, this is a lot of effort, isn't it, really? Just leave me. There is a difference, I think, between extroverts and introverts. Yeah? Extroverts. Have I got any extroverts in the room today? Oh, only a few. Come on, you can't be a real extrovert if you've not got your hands straight up in the air straight away. It's me! Yeah, me! Extroverts love being in the crowd. They get a buzz from it. And after they've been after the service, there is tea and coffee in the hall. The extroverts will be looking forward to it. Oh, yes. Oh, great. Let's go through there and let's talk to everybody I can. Ah, yeah, wonderful. The introverts won't look forward to it quite as much, but they will go. But when afterwards, when they go home, they'll say, oh, I just need to lie down now, okay. The extroverts are going to go, buzz, oh yeah, when can we go to the next one? This afternoon? Can we have more? Come on, let's go out and visit something else. Oh, please, I just need to lie down now, thank you, in a darkened room. And that's the difference between an extrovert and an introvert. Which does Jesus love more? Neither. Of course, we are all equally loved by God. And this man, although he's a tigger, although he bounces on people, although he's extravagant and big, and Jesus looks at that and says, with love. Yeah. Look at this man. His personality, his character. Sometimes I do look at my own character and think, well, yeah, where's that get up and go gone? Maybe I do need some of that passion. Zeal for thy house has consumed me. Where's that zeal? Where's that fire? Kindle a flame of sacred love in the mean altar of my heart. Come on. Come on, people of God. Let's get excited about this. And you're going, no, I just need a darkened room to lie down. Thank you very much. Okay. So here's the first thing, maybe, that Jesus finds lovable. It's just his personality, his character. He's just larger than life. And you've got to love that in a person. Here's the second thing that maybe he was trying to do. This is the bit that you were saying. He was wise. He was trying to do what God wanted him to do. Jesus says, you know what the commandments are. And he begins to list them, and the man interrupts him and says, I've been there, got that, done that, got the t-shirt, done all those things. I've really tried my hardest. I've really sweated hard. I've just worked so hard to do the things that God wants me to do. Again, I wonder if that's your heart today. I wonder if you really want to do the things that God wants you to do. Or whether you're just going to plough on your own sweet way, you're doing your own thing. Or whether actually it's God's heart that you're after today. That you're wanting to do the things that are pleasing Him. There are people in this life who are rich. And some people, like this man, have got a good bank balance. They've got land, they've got a house, they've got possessions, they've got all of those things. This man was rich. There are other people who are rich in other ways. And this man was rich in other ways too. There are some people who are rich because they are serving other people and they get that joy from having served somebody else. From having tried to do things that will help their community. Jesus talks about storing up riches in heaven, and that's what that's about, isn't it? It's about being rich, not just financially, but also in spiritual matters. And this man had tried to become rich by doing the right things. That's good, isn't it? It's good to do the right things. I'm not going to say that you should stop trying to do the right thing. Of course not. And yet, this man, although he is so rich, he knows that something is still missing. He's rich in his heart. He's rich in his bank balance too. I think sometimes people in our society can be rich in their bank balances and have got everything. You know, I remember doing a baptismal visit once, and literally you had to go up to the gate and you had to stop and ring the buzzer on the gate before the gate would open, and you drove down and through these pillars and went inside, and it was kind of wall-to-wall television set. They'd got it all. They'd got everything. They'd got everything, and yet they hadn't. Alpha. Remember Chris Swift and June and the family today, because they're gone to their granddaughter's funeral in France. But Chris Swift, if he could have been here today, would have been the one with his hand up now and jumping up and down and saying, Alpha, There must be more to life than this. Maybe you've got it all. Maybe you've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, but you know that something is still missing. Something's not quite right. There must be more to it than this. If that's you today, then I just encourage you to look up Alpha. Get onto the course. Starts 20th of September. And do please, you get a free meal out of it. You can't say fairer than that, can you? Free dinner. Come on. Two-course meal, cooked by Olive, or maybe not now. And Kath. So please, you know, there must be more to... Maybe that's the point that this man, this rich young man, he thinks that he's done it all, got it all. And yet he hasn't. There's something missing. So, he knew there was more. There was something... And Jesus says to him, yeah, good, tick. You've tried to please God, you've tried to do all of those things, but you need to know it's grace. Amazing grace. So it's not about you trying your best to please God. What is it Philip Yancey says, you know? Grace. There's nothing that you can do to make God love you more than he already does. He can't love you more than he already does because he loves you with an infinite love and you can't get bigger than infinite. But there's nothing that you will ever do that will stop him from loving you or make you love you less. He will always love you. And that's grace. And this guy needed to know about amazing grace. That you did all of these things, not because you had to, not because the law told you to do it, but because you wanted to out of your love for God. And there's something more here. It's not just about grace. The thing that is more, it's just that Jesus kind of says to him, the most important thing here, maybe Jesus is saying this to you this morning, the most important thing is your relationship with Father God. And there's one thing that's stopping you getting a closer relationship with Father God. Are you with me? You've done all of those things. Good. You've looked after your mum and dad. You've never lied. You've never defrauded. You've never done all of those. You've never committed adultery. Tick, 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 tick. But there's something that's stopping you getting a closer relationship with God. And the thing that's standing in the way of a closer relationship with God is your bank balance. It's the money. It's the possessions. It's all of those material things that are standing in the way of a closer, deeper relationship with God. Get rid of those things. Come and follow me. And you get closer to Father God. You with me? Do I get an amen to that? So the question today is, what is it stops you from getting a closer relationship with God? What is the one thing that you need to put aside in order to get closer to God today? What's that thing? What stops you having a closer relationship? And for each and every one of us, you see, there'll be something different. So it's not that maybe God is saying to you, you need to sell up everything and go and sell everything. Because maybe that's not your stumbling block. Maybe that's not the thing that stops you getting closer to Jesus or closer to God. Maybe there's something else. Maybe it's the way in which you use your time. Maybe you fill your time to such an extent that you fill God out of it. And maybe you need to make sure that you're using your time wisely. Maybe there are other things that you know stop you from getting closer to God. And in your heart, it's that thing that you know you need to put right with God this morning. So what is it that Jesus loves about this man? His enthusiasm, his energy, his life. Maybe his desire to do what God wanted. And maybe it's just that realization that there's still something that needs to be put right. There's still something that needs to be done to get a closer relationship with God. People can be poor in all sorts of different ways. It's not just the amount of money that you've got in the bank or not. Sometimes people can be poor simply because they don't know God. That they've missed out in the greatest treasure and the greatest riches of all. Having a relationship with a God who loves you and who cares for you. Our hymn here in one of the verses talks about that poverty, the riches and the poverty. And the hymn is Lord for the Years. Let's stand and sing together. There's time now for us to respond to maybe what God has been saying in your heart to you. What is it that God has been saying? Is there a message? Maybe it's not been today, but maybe earlier on the week, or there's something else that God has on your heart. And so the microphone is here. I can also bring a roving microphone. And this is, you know, we are the people of God, and it's good to hear good news stories. So if God has been at work in your life, or if God has been saying something to you, or that you think that there's a message here for the whole congregation, that the congregation needs to hear, then this is the point maybe that you could come out and say what it is. So, again, there could either be a very awkward silence, again, or there's opportunity for you to bear witness to what God is doing in your life or amongst his people. What is it that God has said to you this morning?
That while we were thinking about the things that stop us going deeper with the Lord, there are perhaps two important things that we can perhaps think of and perhaps take seriously in our lives. And one is unforgiveness of ourselves and others. And the other one, I think, is worry and being burdened with cares and anxieties. And those two things really cloud our walk with the Lord. And if we can take those things to him and ask him to help us to address them. Sorry. And did you hear what I said? And ask him to help us to address those issues in our lives. I think that will automatically deepen our walk with him and bring us closer to him, trusting him more and walking in faith more deeply each day. Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe that's a word for some piglets among us, that burdened with worries and anxieties and what's around the next corner. Okay, let's just spend some time in prayer right now. Let's pray. Just in the quietness of the morning, hear the voice of Jesus. Imagine that it's you that runs up to Jesus, kneels before him. Jesus looks on you with love. And then he says, there's just one more thing that you need to do. What's that thing that he's asking you to do today? Lord, we pray for our world today. We think of a world in trouble, in need, people in desperation. We think of those who are poor in very real terms, without a penny to their name, not knowing where the next meal is going to come from. we think of those who are poor spiritually, who are self-absorbed and wrapped up in their own self, without a thought for others, or a thought for you. Lord, we pray your blessing. Pour out your Spirit. Reach into these people's lives and situations, we pray. We pray for this congregation, that you would equip us and motivate us and mobilize us to be salt and light in our community, to bring hope and peace and joy into the streets and the homes and the houses and people's lives around us today. We do think of Chris and June and the family, and Ace and Matthew. And just in, again, a few moments of quietness, there may be people that you know who are struggling at this moment in one way or another. And again, Lord, we pray that in our own lives you would awaken that zeal, that enthusiasm, that you would stir up that fire in our own hearts, that you would make us so eager to do your will. Not because we gain your favour because of it, but because we want to, because we love you so. So would you turn our cold hearts into hearts of love. Stir up that flame within us, we pray. So we offer you not just these prayers, not just these words, but hearts and lives laid before you this morning. And we do it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I did just want to highlight that we had church council this week. It happens. This church council was particularly to set our budget for the coming year. So we know that how much money we need and how much money we are likely to get. And then we put those two figures together and we realise how much short we're going to be. And that's called setting a deficit budget. And as a church, we had to, this year, set a deficit budget. There are all sorts of costs that are coming our way. We are in a wonderful, beautiful building. Isn't it great? To the glory of God. But it was built in the 1870s, and it's showing its age, you know. We've got a building across the road, built about the same time. That again needs an awful lot of money spent on it. The bottom line is that we're probably by this time next year going to be £43,000 short. Now I'd say this to you at the same time as I chose this passage about a rich young man that Jesus says, go sell everything and then come and follow me. That's interesting, isn't it? Come and follow me. We could have had 13 disciples, couldn't we? Ever thought of that one? Could have been more disciples. Except there's you, isn't there, as well? And there's your bank accounts and there's your money. Hey, do you want to know a couple of easy ways that you can help us get that £43,000 down? Number one, come through for coffee afterwards and there will be a table there with some homemade designer individual one-off cards for you to buy. £1.50. Is that right? Big ones a bit more, but £1.50. And all of the money will go to help us in our plans for the bridge across the road and our outreach into the community, so our youth and community work. You can also, at the same time, and Graham's here, you can also pick up some tickets. First of all, for the, can I say this correctly, Osterligi. I'm getting a nod. Osterligi Warriors Tribal evening. Which is when? 12th. 12th of September. Get your tickets now. And for Stuart Townend in November. Get your tickets now. So there's two ways in which you can help. Of course, you can help by giving some one-off gifts if you wanted to. And you may find on the seats in front of you some envelopes, some blue envelopes. Does anybody want to wave me a blue envelope? So if you're a visitor with us, can I say, please disregard all that I've just said, okay? And have this one on us, you know? But to the congregation, we're going to sing a final song, and then we are going to have our offering during that song. So please continue to think carefully about your giving and your generosity. I love that line in that Stuart Townend about generous lives and the way in which the master is counting what you keep rather than what you give. Great line, great line. So our final hymn this morning, O Thou Who Camest From Above, kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart. Let's stand and sing together. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Thank you, Lord, for all your many blessings on our lives. And Lord, would you continue to bless us so that we can be channels of those blessings into other people's lives. Bless us to be a blessing. And so may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen. Thank you.